Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast that celebrates films we reckon might be underrated or underseen. I'm your host for this week, Alice Oliver, and this week's film is Bronson from 2008. So let's see what we reckon. All right then, Josh, so you picked this week's film, Bronson, from 2008. So spoiler warning, listeners, if you have not seen it yet. So Josh, do tell us, what is the film about and why did you pick it?
What is the film Bronson about? Well, I'll say a few things before we start. Number one, this episode will probably tackle some quite dark subject matter because it deals with some quite violent incidents, as well as incarceration and mental health, stuff like that. Second one, it is based on a real person. We're not really going to be discussing the real person. We're very much going to be focusing on the film. And third, there's a lot of swearing in this. So I always mark these episodes as explicit, but we will be saying some pretty fruitful, colourful language during this film, during the review of this film. Yeah, in terms of reviewing it. So if you've got little kiddos, this isn't the one to have on in the car for the run or whatever.
No, we've done Hercules and Monster versus Aliens. Go listen to those episodes, please.
Not this one. What's it about? So Bronson's a film about the real-life prisoner who is still incarcerated now, born Michael Peterson, then changed his name to Charles Bronson, since been known as a few things, currently known as Charles, I believe, Salvador. He is Britain's longest, I think he's either Britain's longest serving or Britain's most expensive, or he's been labelled a few things. Most expensive prisoner, basically. And it's a film by the director, Danish director Nicholas Winding Refn, starring Tom Hardy, about, it's not really a biopic, it is about him, but it's sort of through the lens of his own point of view. So it's almost autobiographical in a way, but it's all about his own sort of wants and desires and fantasies and stuff like that. I think it'd be fair to say that's about the best way you can sum it up, right?
Yeah. Good one. Yes.
Why did I pick this one? So I picked it for a few reasons. So I assumed when I picked this that it would be already really highly rated. Yes. So perhaps it wouldn't be underrated, but I figured it would be pretty underseen. It was quite a breakout for Tom Hardy. He'd done a few things at this point, but I think this was one where people went, oh my God, this guy's pretty good, and went on to do things like Inception and Batman, and you know, obviously now he's a massive, massive movie star. So I thought it'd have a pretty low box office. However, seeing the scores and the box office, I actually think it's now underrated and underseen. So that's what I'm going for, underrated, underseen. And also, just because we come up to you sort of going off to have a babby, we've spoken a lot about our joint admiration for one Edward Thomas Hardy. And this is the film that put me onto him. This is the film that made me go, this guy's got something. And I thought, so I'm going to pick it because we love Hardy.
I think, Josh, that I'm the same.
This was the
thing for
the
me.
The breakout with Hardy.
I think so, yeah. So
Hardy.
Yeah, so I had seen the film once, but it was like, we're talking over 10 years ago now. So I watched it at uni, but I remember being just incredibly impressed with his performance at that time. And then obviously from there, like I think shortly after that, I ended up watching Stuart Life Backwards.
Yeah,
and then it just sort of, it kept going from there. And suddenly it's like, oh, it turns out everything he's in, or at least everything that he's a really prominent character in, is absolutely excellent. And he's a terrific actor.
Yeah.
So this this guy, this is one to watch. You know, you're in safe hands when Tom Hardy comes along.
Indeed. And some would say we've done films that he's even made better by being in them.
Yes,
I'm the same as you. And I think we've both done that thing, we've talked about it on other episodes, where we, if you see an actor that really impresses you, then we might perhaps then focus on that actor. So we might go and go, I'm going to go and watch everything that, or, you know, as much as I can, that this actor, so in this case, Tom Hardy's done. I very much did that at this time. So I'm the same as you. I've probably watched it around the same time as you. It was whilst I was at university. I think it was in between years. I was watching it with my partner. And it was one of the first times I remember as an adult being almost blown away by a film and a performance as well as the film. So in equal measure, which we'll come on to now, but you had seen it before only maybe once, you think?
Only once, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'd only seen it once and then never went back to it. My memory of it was thinking it was good for sure, but then not really much more than that. But then watching it this time, and obviously watching it in the way that we do watch films now, like you can really, I think, grasp the quality of this film.
Tell me then. Oh, I thought it was
excellent, Josh. Yeah? I thought it was just so, it was brilliantly executed. And, you know, I've got quite a lot to say about Tom Hardy as well that I'll save for a little bit later on. It's not going to be anything that's going to surprise you. But no, we'll come to you first. You picked it. So go on. I want to know a little bit more about what was the thing that went off in your head when you thought Bronson's got to go on my list?
I don't know. I just have a big list of films in my phone and I think I put it down, probably put it down because I think more people should see it. Now it's definitely, I'll come back to this later on, it's definitely not for everyone, do you know what I mean? This ain't your grandma's Tom Hardy film. It's you know, it is dark and it's heavy and stuff like that, but I think that I put it down because I think a lot of people, if you're into film, I think a lot of people would watch something like this and get a lot out of it. So I think that's probably how it ended up on my list. Or it could have just been on there as one I just want to talk about. Because I don't know about you, when I make my list for the podcast, I don't write down why. I just think, oh, like, you know, whatever, you know, Bronson or Stuart Life Backwards or whatever film, Hercules, you know, whatever film it is. I should probably write down why I've put it on the list. Really?
No, I don't write down why either. You just sort of remember, don't you? But then also when it comes, it's like when it comes to time to maybe actually picking it, you could then go and check the critical reception. It's like, now I know. Now I remember why I picked it. Because it only got 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, and as we've said before, we're all about forming a cognizant argument. So, I'm sure neither of us would, but you could pick The Godfather. And if you can make an argument that it's underrated or underseen, it'd be very, very difficult and you'd probably be a better arguer than I. But but yeah, you know, there has been times when we pick films, it's like, it's not actually, when you look at the concept of the podcast, it seems like it might not fit. But if you can make an argument, I think, it's entertainment at the end of the day. That's what it is. So yeah, I think I picked it. I think I put it on my list because it's underseen. But having seen those scores, I think it's a little bit underrated as well. Maybe not massively so, but a little bit. But I mean, I have watched this film a fair few times, four or five times in my life. I haven't watched it for a while when we came to do it. So I was quite interested to watch it again with that critical eye, because it really does skew how you watch a film. When you're trying to find something, you know, when you're trying to find things that you like about it and things that you don't. A, it really frames how you watch it, and B, you've got to try and find that balance. And I wasn't sure I would find anything that I didn't like, but you know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. We'll come back to that. In terms of what I like then, I think it really boils down into two things. And I'd imagine it's the similar things on your list as well, but I've got the two main things for me are the visual style, so direction and editing and music and all that sort of stuff, and Tom Hardy's performance. Those are the two big factors for me. I mean, there are lots of characters in this, but not many characters have got more than a couple of minutes of screen time, whereas he's in pretty much every single shot, every single scene. So What do you want me to talk about first, the visual style or Tom Hardy's performance?
Let's go visual style, and then we'll come on to Tom to finish.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it is... I remember I'd never really seen anything like this before when I watched it for the first time. I think it's so energetic and interesting and engaging and kinetic in its execution. It feels really visceral. And what I mean by that is, along with its subject matter and the things it's trying to achieve in terms of the things that it's covering, it really packs a punch. You know, like I said earlier, it's heavy. So I think you do come away from this like feeling like you've gone 12 rounds with Charlie Bronson a little bit. And I think, again, it's not for everyone, but at the time it caught me at a really good moment. It caught me at a really good formative moment when I first watched it. Obviously, I've seen it before, but watching it again, it still packed that punch for me. I think it keeps you engaged throughout. I mean, it's so if you haven't seen it, you listen to this, it's incredibly stylized. So there is naturalistic scenes in it of dialogue, but it's almost like a film slash music video slash play slash performance art piece all in one, really. You know, if they were showing this at the Tate or something like that, I wouldn't be surprised to see elements of it in the Tate or in like an art house theatre type thing or whatever. It's really, really fast paced. It's really quickly edited in places. There's some real stylized set pieces. So the most famous one that most people will know is where he has an entire conversation with himself as two characters, and one half of his face is painted as Charlie Bronson and the other half is painted as, I think, some sort of like ward sister, you know, head nurse or something like that, who's trying to plead to get released from one prison to another, or is it a mental health place he's trying to get released from, something like that. But anyway, has this whole conversation with a nurse and with himself. It's really, really, really stylized and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I love those elements of it. It's really energetic. It's really stylized. And I think it keeps the subject matter feeling both impactful, engaging. It does add elements of humor and lightness to it, to the point where it's not as heavy as it perhaps could have been in someone else's hands and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's the main thing, is you come away from that feeling like you've experienced it rather than watched it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. What do you think about that? What do you mean? Like, have you got other things you like about the visual style, or other things you like apart from the two things we've mentioned that you want to get in, or do you want to talk about the visual style?
So those kind of what you said there does really align with the main things that I like about it, like you thought it would. So it's all about the execution of the whole thing and some of these storytelling techniques that the film utilizes, like it being really abstract and like this experimental, almost avant-garde film in places.
Experimental and avant-garde's a really good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it felt. And I think because of the subject matter and who we're dealing with and it being a British film and all those things, you don't really expect it. I think what it delivers is different from what you expect. And I thought that was a really interesting choice, especially given the subject matter. And there were times where it reminded me quite a bit of Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, definitely.
Like in terms of it, sometimes it was quite frantic and like experimental, like I said, and it just sort of, it dazes you a little bit, but sort of keeps you on edge at the same time, and through the use of the visuals and the editing and stuff like that. And I thought that all the decisions behind this were really interesting. And then I wondered that if those decisions were made due to the fact that we are possibly dealing with an unreliable narrator here with Bronson as a character in the film. So we're letting the subject of the film tell us how it was. So obviously he's going to want to paint a certain picture and deliver his story in a certain way. And there are going to be like some biases and misremembered events in here. Because am I right in thinking, and please tell me if I've made this up or not, but I believe I'd heard this sort of years ago, that Bronson knew that this film was being made and was happening, and he wrote letters to the director, or he wrote letters to Tom Hardy or something?
So I've read a few things about it. So the first one is he wasn't allowed to meet Nicholas Winding Refn because Nicholas Winding Refn is Danish.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have got into the prison to meet him. I believe Tom Hardy did meet him.
Ah, okay.
And he wasn't convinced at first that Tom Hardy would do a good job. And then he sort of won him over by showing him what he was going to do and his physicality and the amount of muscle and stuff that he put on and stuff like that. I think he probably did write letters. I know that he's largely happy with how it turned out. That's what I've read anyway. Mm. He's largely happy. There's the odd bit where he's like, it wasn't like that and it wasn't like that, but I don't think it's by any means like anything that he's shown massive disgust at or anything like that. And I believe he's incredibly... I think the biggest thing he said was like that Tom Hardy played him really, really well. That's what I've read anyway. Obviously, it's difficult because at the end of the day, the guy's still incarcerated, he's still in prison. So it's not like he's openly talking as much as like a Tom Hardy would be to press or whatever. So yeah, but I believe that they made it with some element, like you say, of communication with him, but not like if you were making, I don't know when they made Rocket Man or Bohemian Rhapsody or something like that. I'm just trying to think of other more recent biopics. And obviously this is entirely different because it's like you say, it's all through his point of view. So he's an unreliable narrator, isn't he?
Yeah. And it's like, so they've used these cinematic techniques to kind of emphasize the fact it's like, oh, this all feels a little bit wacky. And it's like, yeah, because maybe it didn't happen this way. Like, yeah, we don't really know. We can't place our trust in this person who's taking us through the story. Mm. And I think they really enhance that idea through the use of the visuals in general. So there were some great sequences in this where the music we hear along with the visuals is quite dramatic and impactful. And I thoroughly appreciated some of the editing decisions behind this as well. And I think it made for some really, like, it was dramatic, yet amusing, yet brutal all at the same time. And I like this combination of different feelings. And it really helped to keep me engaged as the viewer. Like, I felt like I just didn't want to look away. At times, it did such a good job of sort of bringing you into it. And things like the framing and the cinematography around Bronson is excellent. So there's some interesting use of shadow and blocking, as well as Tom Hardy's movements that really bring the piece to life. And it so often just felt like seriously good filmmaking, and that there was like a decision made behind everything, and that it's being delivered to you by people who just understand filmmaking and understand their tools and generally just really know what they're doing. Like, there was some really dramatic imagery and sound, sort of in terms of the soundtrack, but also in just like the Foley and stuff like that. And it's really, all of this is really enhanced through things like the lighting and the props and the way the action is choreographed, and essentially just all these different cinematic techniques that you can think of have been considered, and to really great effect. Like, everything felt so intentional, and like everything had a purpose. And I loved that. And it did have a real impact on me.
Did you find it quite affecting watching it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And exhausting.
Yeah. 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 It's not a light, breezy watch, is it? And I think, it's made that way. So let's talk about Tom Hardy's performance then. So you first, what do we think then? It's up there, isn't it?
So this is just another example of a film that is totally resting on his shoulders, right? So we had it with Legend, and we had it somewhat with Stuart Life Backwards as well, which are obviously both films that we've done on the podcast. Not so much with scenes of a sexual nature, though we did enjoy seeing him in that as well. So for me, Tom Hardy is probably second only to Christian Bale in terms of how much admiration I have for him as an actor and how good
I think we should do some Christian Bale films, actually.
Nah, I can't really think of any that would be appropriate for the podcast. Yeah. If you could think of one, let me know.
If you could think of any Christian Bale
films. I can't think off the top of my head. He's just excellent in pretty much everything he's in, and he embodies his character so convincingly. And this is another really physical and intense performance from him, and he just doesn't seem to let up at any point. His intensity is almost exhausting, but I just think he's so wonderful. He's so aware of his face and his body that there is no moment during this film, or mostly any of his films, where you could look at him and question his dedication. And that just, it, he just looks like a man who's working hard all the time. And I've just got so much time for him. What about you? Tell me about your thoughts.
Yeah,
on,
I mean,
Tom in this.
Actually, he's brilliant. He's one of the first times I remember being blown away by an actor's performance or a single actor's performance in a film. I mean, his physicality is brilliant. Obviously, he put on a lot of muscle to play Bronson in the film, and his commitment and, like you say, his energy and stuff like that, it really, really shows. It feels like he's working hard for the money. Do you know what I mean? That's what it feels like in this. He obviously immerses himself in the character so much. I mean, it does help that he doesn't look anything like him. in real life. So it's got, you've got that thing of him looking so different. It's quite easy to detach yourself from him. But I do think he's excellent in this. I think to the point where a few things he does, you know, when you can feel the rage bubbling up inside of him, mm-hmm. and you can feel this unpredictability. You know, the bits where he's calm and he's speaking to people and he's doing things like, you know, the bit where he's offering the prison guard and Matt King's character a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. You think any minute this guy's going to snap.
Yeah, the tension. Like any minute this guy,
and it just bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, and then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So there's stuff like that. He also does that thing of, you know, without getting into him, controversial figure for many, many reasons, but obviously what Tom Hardy does is in parts makes him likable where mm-hmm. he has to be, or makes him engaging where he has to be, injects elements of humour in it so that it keeps you engaged in that way. I think he's excellent in this. I don't think he gets enough, you know, on these lists of best ever performances. I don't know if it's a best ever performance type job, but there are plenty of performances I've seen that have got loads and loads of kudos I've thought aren't as good as this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that should be said, that I think his performance carries the film, and in the arms of a less talented, less committed actor, this wouldn't be anywhere near as good as it is.
Yeah, and that's the thing with films like this. We've done a couple of them, I think, where it's so much of it is just riding on this one person. And it's like, what if you as the casting director or whoever it is, what if you've made the wrong decision? Mm. What if you get halfway through this process and you think, ah, fuck, this isn't working? And with Tom Hardy, you always know it's going to work.
Yeah.
Him and Christian Bale, you just know, you're onto a winner. We'll move on now then to talk about anything that we didn't like about the film, or perhaps anything that we would change. So I know you said earlier that, oh, you might struggle with this, but obviously we're very balanced and we're very smart and we're just we're so good at like critical thinking and all this sort of shit. Do you know what I mean? So I've got no doubt that you've managed to put together a balanced argument for this. So go on, lay it on me. What are you thinking?
I've got two little points and a big point. What do you want first? Little points?
Hit me with the big one.
So suppose I've never had to think about this because I've never had to do a podcast on it, but I've always wondered, thinking about it now, what the film is actually trying to say and what the actual point is it trying to say. In terms of its emotionality, obviously Bronson as a bloke, as a character, it's really difficult to know how you're supposed to feel, who you're supposed to root for and that sort of thing. But on the other hand, and this is where it feels quite contrary in my head, that I kind of think that's the point. Mm-hmm. It's just presenting you with this very stylized version of events and being like, there you go, make it your own mind. And it does seem to be there to entertain you as well. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to make it as engaging as it is. Mm-hmm. As other biopics show, you quite often, other biopics can feel a little bit like just a timeline of a person's life. Mm-hmm. Whereas this isn't that. It's sort of a biopic mixed with a bit of an art house film sort of vibes. So I've always wondered what it is the film is trying to say, or if it's trying to say anything. Mm-hmm. So that's something I noticed this time around. A little bit like, what's the point? What are you trying to make a point? Because if I had to hazard a guess, the end finishes with how long he's been in prison for and how long that he's been in solitary confinement, seems to be suggesting to me that they're saying that his punishment is disproportionate to his behaviour.
Right,
but
okay.
It doesn't outwardly say that. Mm-hmm. And the only person who does outwardly sort of suggest that is the character of Bronson himself, who probably would say that.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not sure. What do you think of that then?
So for me, and it could just be that I'm missing the point, maybe I'm not as smart as I like to think I am, but I don't think it is, like, I just don't feel like it is trying to say anything, because when it comes to the people sort of in positions of authority, so like some of, you know, the police officers and the prison guards and all that, it's not like they're all terrible, evil people who are intentionally making his life bad for him. Like, some of them seem sort of to really, like, kind of get on with him. They kind
try
of understand him. Yeah, they're like trying to figure him out. It's like, what is it that you need? What can we do to actually help you so that you're not just stuck here every time, sort of thing? And it honestly, to me, it just feels like it's just telling us a story. It's like, here's a story of a guy who spent most of his life in prison, possibly more time in solitary confinement than anyone in Great Britain has ever spent. Isn't that interesting? And let's take a look at why this happened.
Why would someone behave so almost self-destructively?
Yeah, because it was, I did find that strange at times. And I wonder if it would have been more interesting. Obviously, it's difficult because it's what's going on in his head and it's his own thoughts and feelings. He's only ever going to give up the information he wants to give up. So when you think about, or you see, you know, these scenes where, oh, you could have not beat up that prison guard and you'd be in a much better position than you were given that you did. And it's kind of like, he didn't do anything to you. Why did you beat him up? Like, I was a bit like, huh, this is really like, I didn't fully get his motivations and stuff. So I don't know if it is trying to make a point. I think it's just, it's taken a sort of a very interesting subject matter and made a very interesting looking and sounding film based on that subject matter.
I suppose we've got to the end of the point we were trying to make there, which is that maybe it is an exploration in self-destruction or an exploration into behavior that just doesn't seem like it's anything approaching normal. I think we've come to the end of that fairly well. We've explored it. I mean, neither of us are psychologists, so our thoughts.
I have no idea.
the two little points were, it is in a similar way, it's often compared to, you made a really good comparison to Natural Born Killers there, which I completely agree with. The one it obviously gets compared to a lot, just because a lot of films of this nature do get compared to this a lot, is A Clockwork Orange. And I think it's very similar in its exploration and its depiction of violence, which is very affecting. Now, I don't mind that. What we've talked about before, pacifist and all that sort of stuff, but obviously it's exploring violence and violent behavior and stuff like that. So I do find it does its job, but the point I'm making is I think that could isolate some audience members. I don't think, definitely, it's coming back to the point I said before, it's not for everyone. You're not popping this on after the Christmas lunch.
No, and it's, you wouldn't easily recommend it to people as well.
No.
Like there's a certain, you'd have to know someone quite well, I think, before you would recommend
any film recommendations.
Someone.
Do you want something that's quite dark and really affecting, or do you want to watch Bridesmaids?
Yeah, exactly.
and the other one is, I did think, and I've never noticed it before, just a smidge repetitive in places.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't sure how many times I wanted to see Charlie Bronson shout, "Fuck off, you cunt," at a prison guard. He just says it so many times in this film. And I know, again, if that's how he talks or whatever.
That's how he talks.
But it numbed me to it a little bit, and I didn't want to be numbed to it because I thought the whole point was to be affected by it. But
like in the Blair Witch Project, where they scream Josh over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Josh.
So none of those, I think, were massive, massive dislikes. There were things I noticed that either I was like questioned or was like, I could see how that might put someone off. But that's all I've got, really. What about you? Is there anything?
So there are a couple of things, yes. So the first one is the pacing. And though I do think the pacing is appropriate for the film, I found it a little bit disruptive and maybe somewhat jarring at times, because you'd go from these really like high energy, intense sequences to stuff that's like really dialed back with not very much dialogue, sort of just quite quiet and quite slow. Like the moments when he's with his parents, he's been released and he goes back to his parents and stuff. And they're just sort of sitting there kind of having real casual conversation. There's the moment where he goes to a party, his uncle's house or something. And the sort of the energy in that just really, really dips. And it all just kind of, it felt like it was trying to do something like, do you remember when we did The Crow? And now obviously in that you've got like these scenes of like massive violence and like frenzied chaos and all this. And then you'd come to the sort of the police officer and the little girl, and you'd have these moments of calm where you could sort of breathe and kind of unpack everything that just happened. And in that it really worked. But in this, it just sort of felt a bit disrupted. Like, I think I would have liked it to have been more like Natural Born Killers, where it's 100% go, go, go all the time. I want to see frenzied chaos, madness happening every second of
I do have a retort or a point to that, though, because yes, I noticed that the bits that are slowly paced and the bits that are calmer are just the bits where he's not in prison.
Where he's not in jail. Yeah,
so I think it's making a point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's almost saying he's bored, so you're going to be bored.
Right.
A little bit. That's like, because I noticed that and I was like, but maybe it is. It's no coincidence that when he's in prison, it's really high energy and frenetic, gets released for like 70 days or so, 60 mm-hmm. days or something like that, and then goes back into prison. And then the pace picks up again.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, Josh. I think it might be making that. I feel like it's not a mistake. I feel like it's not a, it's not a coincidence. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they're purposely dragging the pace down for that reason.
It's almost like when he's out of prison, he's like a fish out of water and he just has no idea what to do with himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
And that's the only naturalistic bits of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Is that anything else?
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know if it's because of the way the film has been is presented to us, you know, the execution in terms of the visual style and everything to do with Tom Hardy's performance and that. But at times, it feels like Charles Bronson is not a real person.
Right.
Like this, it's almost so extreme and so over the top that I sort of would forget at times that, oh no, based on a true story, based on real events, this is based on a real guy sort of thing. But I wonder if that's just because when you compare it to other films that are based on actual events and based on true stories, they don't quite go this extra, do they? Like, because this film goes extra.
It makes big choices, doesn't it? It makes big choices, yeah. This film.
And so I don't even know, I couldn't even classify that as a dislike because like, I don't really mind. The film is still terrific. It doesn't change the quality of the film. But I would forget at times like, oh, this is a real dude. Like because of how over and over the top and just wacky the whole thing was. But yeah, I don't think really a dislike, but definitely I could see why people may have issue with that or why people couldn't get on board with it. But those were the only two things really, and neither of them diminished the quality of the film for me at all. Like I think overall, just excellent. It was an excellent idea, excellently told story, just such a good job from everyone involved, like the music guys, the Foley guys, the editors, the cinematographer, like everyone's just... Everyone just gets it. Do you know what I mean? Everyone just gets like, oh, you know what we want to do? We want to make a good film. All right, here you fucking go. Let's do it, you cats. Do you know what I mean? And they did it. Right, so we'll move on now then to talk about the critical reception. Now, I'm very interested in this, Josh, because watching it, I was like, there's no way he's picked this because it's underrated, because I almost... couldn't fathom that it could be underrated because it's well, so good.
How would you rate it then, roughly?
I mean, we've got to be talking in the eights here, aren't we? We've got to be talking in the eights, okay. I reckon okay. Late eights. I'm going to give this do I give it an 87?
Ooh, 8.7.
That's high, man. That's high for me. But yeah,
a high eight then?
Yeah, I would give it a high eight.
Okay. I would similarly.
Right.
Similarly, so maybe like a middle to low eight, but certainly in the eights.
So then what do I think you got? Can I just guess to see if I can hit the nail on the head? So there's no way it's like really low. There's just no way. But because we think it's so good, it could still be underrated, but sort of still be sort of done all right-ish. So I'm going to say it got a high seven. I'm going to say it got a 76 or a 7.6 is where I'm going to sit on that.
Shall we have a look then?
Go on.
Okay, so at the time of recording over on IMDb, it gets a flat 7 out of 10. On Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it 74, and the critics give it 75, which averages out at 73, or obviously 7.3 if you're going out of 10. And then box office wide, it made just over 2 million quid worldwide.
That's not so much, is it?
Based on what we've said there, I think we're saying it's underrated and underseen. What say you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's like, what, seven? A flat seven on IMDb?
What did they watch? What did they watch,
Alice? I don't know. It weren't Bronson. It weren't Tom Hardy doing his thing, I'll tell you that. Definitely not.
There we go then. Bronson is underrated and underseen. I'm a happy boy. Happy boy with that, because that's why I picked it and that's what we came to the conclusion of. So, Alice, next week it's your turn to pick.
What are we watching?
What are we mulling over next week?
Okay, so next week, Josh, we're going to watch and have a little chat about Guns Akimbo.
Guns Akimbo. Little Danny Ratcliffe.
Yes, he's back. He's back. He's another one. He's slowly creeping up.
He's soon to overtake Tom Hardy as most talked about actor. Brilliant. Well, join us next week when we're going to be talking about Guns Akimbo. Then, in the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. And we're on all the social medias. If you search for Just Films and That, you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all those places where we're putting stuff out if you want to give us a little follow. If you want a little bit of extra content from us, then click the link to our Patreon in the episode description notes, where for £1 a month you can get early access to extended ad-free episodes, and of course any support you give us would be massively, massively appreciated, won't it, Alice?
It will. Thanks everyone in advance. We love you.
But we'll see you next week for Guns Akimbo. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.